For the past two Lord's Days, we've been studying the life of the Apostle Paul. In our first sermon, we dealt with these questions. What is the world's concept of strength and success? And what is true success in the sight of God? Then last Lord's Day, we were answering this question. What would the world say about Paul's life before and after he became a Christian? And so this morning, as we continue our study of the life of the Apostle Paul, let's ask this question. How did Paul react to his suffering? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, and we should know that stands for Preparing for Eternity, something we all should put first in our life, yes sir. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together in the worship service, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, thus with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will be so much welcome. Now, something else we want to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study, we would really look forward to that opportunity to sit down together and study from God's Word. So let us know and we'll set that up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses as well. And something else we want to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have, and your comments, positive or negative, they're appreciated. So again, you can write to us, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, and it's 765-342-6027. And one other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study concerning the life of the Apostle Paul, as we want to answer this question: how did Paul react to his suffering? Well, we certainly know from our study last Lord's Day, Paul suffered greatly, as we looked at 2 Corinthians 11:24-28. Let's go back and read that again. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Well, some might say Paul was bragging about his suffering for Christ. Not at all. That is not true, because he was actually praising the Lord as he wrote by inspiration to the Church of Christ in Corinth. Of course, the Lord is worthy of Paul's sacrifice and his faithfulness as well. even through all the extreme suffering that he endured. But he endured it, of course, by the help of God and a strong faith and determination. Determination. How important is that? Well, we should certainly apply this lesson to our own lives. Paul not only wrote by inspiration, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service," but he lived it, did he not? Romans 12:1. And notice what Paul had already penned before listing his suffering for Christ. Let's note 2 Corinthians 4:17. So that's certainly before 2 Corinthians chapter 11 we just read from. So notice 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." That's right. Paul certainly was exactly right. Even though we're afflicted, it's light because it's only for a moment. But what's coming is eternal, eternal life with God and all the faithful. That's what we need to focus on. Keep our eyes on Christ above. Now notice, when Paul met with the elders of Ephesus, the Ephesus Church of Christ, Paul said, this is Acts 20:22-24, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me." No, he didn't know what was going to happen there, save that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now note, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." That's right. Paul said with joy to finish his course, and we know that he did. But note, "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That's something to testify about, the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul certainly did. So Paul learned how to be content regardless of his circumstances. As we go to Philippians chapter 4, let's notice verse 10 and go through 13. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want," notice, "for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." That's it. Now, notice, "not that I speak in respect of want." Again, this is what we just read, but I want to emphasize it. "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And here we come to the crux of the matter. This is how Paul was able to do those things. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." That's the exact point we want to instill in our own lives. To be content in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, because we can do it through Christ. He strengthens us as long as we're faithful. So let's apply that. Yes, through Christ we too can be strengthened. And we will learn how to be content and to have peace of mind that passeth all understanding. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We want that peace of mind, do we not? Well, we can have it by understanding the strength we have through Christ. But without Christ, we can do nothing. John 15:5, we should note that. As we mentioned last Lord's Day, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:7. And we don't know for sure what that thorn in the flesh was, as the scriptures do not reveal it. But some commentators have assumed that it was poor eyesight, since he wrote with large letters, and some of the brethren in Galatia would have given Paul their own eyes if it were possible. Galatians 4:15 and chapter 6, verse 11. But that's still just an assumption. But Paul had that physical problem, did he not? Poor eyesight. And so that's, again, something that he had to live with. Some of us may have poor eyesight. Thankfully, we have glasses now, and cataract surgery is available to us, as some of us are getting riper with those lens, heading towards that situation. But here's the point. As we study about the life of the Apostle Paul, we're seeing, yes, how did he react to his suffering? He reacted as he should, and just as we should react to our suffering, and depending on God, and not complaining and carrying on like so many do. You see, as Paul was given that thorn in the flesh, notice it was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. This is 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. You see, Paul had been exalted above measure through those revelations, abundance of the revelations. So that's why he was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And notice, Paul said, I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Notice God's answer to Paul's prayer. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul replies immediately after God said, no, that's answering his prayer. His prayers, we should say, there were three of them. So now Paul accepts that answer, and he understands, as he goes on to say, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Brethren, are we like Paul? We need to be. How many of us take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake? Remember, Paul was successful in the eyes of God, and so can we, if our strength is made perfect in weakness. Are we willing to be bound, as was Paul, for being a faithful Christian, as we noted in Acts 20:22-24? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, Jesus promised, Revelation 2:10. Brethren, we in the Lord's church all need to think very seriously about this question. How do we react to our suffering? We've seen how the Apostle Paul reacted to his, but we need to make this applicable to ourselves. Let's be like Paul and draw nigh unto God rather than react as so many have by turning away from God. So another lesson here for our learning is that God knew what was best for Paul, and thus he did not remove Paul's thorn in the flesh. It made Paul a better person. He understood when he's weak, he needs God. And he turned to God and became stronger. And so can we. Yes, of course we can. But we must always trust God and accept His answer to our prayers, as Paul did. We should never desire anything that God does not want us to have. Notice James 4:3, you asked and received not because you asked amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. We don't want to do that. But we want to ask those things that are proper and helpful and needful, and pray for others, certainly. For ourselves, but also for our brethren, for our enemies even, for the lost, to have an opportunity to be saved. And for all those missionaries in foreign lands, difficult places, pray, of course, for our leaders, that they would seek the guidance from God, and all world leaders, as we should. But now, with the time remaining, let's ask ourselves this question. Do we realize the benefits from our individual suffering? We should never question God's love for us. But because of suffering, even sometimes faithful Christians do it anyway. But we shouldn't. I want us to notice from the Old Testament, those who were faithful to God, yet at times they did question God's involvement with His children. Job asked, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, or mighty in power?" Job 21:7. Well, Job, of course, suffered greatly as he was faithful unto God. Satan brought on his suffering, as you know, in that great study. And here is Job questioning, why are the wicked, yes, mighty in power? Well, we might wonder the same today. But that shouldn't take away our trust in God, as God knows what's best. Remember, Gideon said unto God, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Judges 6:13. Remember, Gideon, why you were under the suppression of the Midianites? Because the people of God had turned their back on God. Well, what happened to Gideon? He became a great leader. He's a wonderful example of leadership. Yes, he got straightened out. But he was questioning God here, was he not? What about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? He asked, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" Jeremiah 12:1. Well, Jeremiah learned God was going to take care of the wicked. He learned that. But here he's questioning God, is he not? A great prophet he was, but not at this point. Habakkuk, he asked, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou will not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou will not save?" Habakkuk 1:2. Well, Habakkuk was weak at this point, but if you study Habakkuk, you'll see at the end of that book, in the minor prophet section, Habakkuk was rejoicing. So he learned God is going to take care of things, as we should realize that as well. What about Asaph, the psalmist? He revealed how he almost lost his faith in God. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Psalm 73, 2 and 3. Asaph almost slipped. He was seeing how the eyes were bugging out of these folks who were just prospering, yet living it up in wickedness, which we see the same today. But that shouldn't affect our faith. They will have to answer to God if they don't repent of their wickedness and obey the gospel today. We should want to see that and pray for their opportunities to hear the truth and submit to it before it's too late. But they will answer to God, as everyone will on the day of judgment. Well, thankfully, Asaph, he changed his tune, as you study Psalm 73, when he came into the house of God. He realized the end, what was going to be the end for the wicked. That's a great study. And in the New Testament, as you go to the book of Revelation, the Revelation, chapter 6, verse 10, the martyred saints are pictured crying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood?" Well, they died for the cause of Christ. Of course, their blood would be avenged, and those who took it would be judged by God, as God brought judgment upon the Roman Empire, and how hard was the fall. But again, as we looked at these examples, does this not sound familiar, as many today think that God is not involved in the world because of all these injustices of life? We see it every day. Just listen to the news, read the newspapers. Some of them I wouldn't advise reading. The news that comes forth, we see a lot of injustices. That's the problem for some people, thinking, well, God is not interested in seeing that justice is served. Well, He is. But He allows people free will to choose to do God's will or not to do it. And those that do not do God's will are bringing forth wickedness. Injustices are happening. Look at the greatest injustice that ever occurred, when our Lord and Savior was taken before Pilate. What crime had He committed? No crime. He had not sinned. As He lived in the flesh, there was no guile found in His mouth. He did nothing against the will of God His entire life in the flesh. And so He died sinless on a cruel cross. And I mean, He suffered. I mean, He really suffered more than anyone could possibly suffer, bearing the sins of all the world. And He did that because He was willing to do His Father's will. And God the Father could not step in and save His only begotten Son. If He did, we would not have salvation. How do we react to the greatest injustice that ever occurred? You see the point? Our looking at injustices in life has no comparison to the greatest injustice that ever occurred. But had it not occurred, we would not have the opportunity to be saved from our sins. So let's realize, as Job, notice, Job stated, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Job 13:15, that's a verse to keep in mind. Despite having an incorrect view of God, all these examples we looked at were able to correct their false views. So let's have the attitude of Job and trust God no matter what happens. So as we close out our study this morning, as we've studied the life of the Apostle Paul, and as he wrote to the brethren at the Corinth Church of Christ, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13:5. We all need to take spiritual inventory of our souls from time to time. As we've studied the Apostle Paul's life, we've learned that true success is obtained only by our obedience to the gospel of Christ and our remaining faithful, even if it means dying for the cause of Christ, Revelation 2:10. And while we can stand in awe of this inspired listing of Paul's sufferings for the cause of Christ, there are some things that Paul did not experience. He did not experience the death of a child, as some of us have. He did not experience the death of a spouse. He was not diagnosed with terminal cancer, Alzheimer's, a brain tumor, or modern-day terminal illnesses, no. But having said that, I don't want anyone to think any less of the sufferings of the Apostle Paul, because next to Christ, he was the most important man in the New Testament. I'm just mentioning what Paul did not suffer for the purpose of encouraging every member of the Lord's church to react properly to our individual suffering, as each member's suffering can be different from other members' suffering. Of course it can. And so may we not only appreciate the successful life before God, which Paul lived, but let us learn from it as well by glorifying God in our individual sufferings. And at the same time, we can have true peace and great contentment, just as Paul did. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4:9. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of our sins, making a change of wills, and then ready to make the good confession unto salvation. And then at that time we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and he adds us to his body, the true church. And we thank you so much for listening today.